Surprise! There's a part three, which is really no surprise at all, because with Kenzie Evans, it is just so much fun. Today, we're here to wrap up everything we can tell you about polyvagal theory and the autonomic nervous system and how it relates to stress and our bodies and what that means for us personally and in our families. Like, what are we going to do with this information and why does it matter? We'll discuss those things today, so stay tuned for our last episode on ANS. Hey parents, welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important, unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat-punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside, and let's rock and talk. You said you had some examples. Did you have one for freeze?
Yeah. So I had shared the one with school. This can also look like after, like you were saying, you can go through the various rungs, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the feeling of safety and security at the top, and then you've got the fight and flight in the middle, and then the freeze at the bottom. And I want to say that there's a fourth one that people have been bringing out called fawn. Yeah, and that's kind of in between your flight mode and freeze mode. But for me, that often shows up as after conflict. Like I will go into freeze after conflict where I felt misunderstood. I felt like there was nothing I could have done in that conflict to make it better or right. That no matter what I did, it wasn't going to have an impact or change things. And so then I notice for me, it may not have shown up. It's usually flight mode for me in the conflict. But then afterwards, I will get really exhausted and Absolutely. My body wants to shut down. And I'm grateful because it used to be that I honestly think that this is where my chronic illness has come from, is that I was in a constant state of shutdown for a long time in my life. That was like my go-to. And so now I'm gaining more awareness about when it shows up and I can be more kind and I get out of it a lot faster. So now it's maybe one, maybe 2 days where my body is extremely exhausted and I feel that powerlessness. So it can look like that, like you were saying, dissociating. When you notice yourself numbing, for example, say that it can look, numbing can look different for lots of people. That can look like eating food and you're not really enjoying it. You're not really tasting it, but it's comforting you, but it's not really offering the comfort that you're seeking. That's a type of numbing. Scrolling on your phone, that can be a type of numbing and dissociating. And that can Absolutely. Be an indicator of shutdown. Mm-hmm. Another freeze response or numbing could be excessive television watching, gaming, reading books. So anything that's like taking you out of being in your present life for extended periods of time and where you're struggling to want to engage, that these
disengagement. Yeah.
Right. That is the freeze response.
Yeah. That's like even for a lot of my male clients, not just males, but pornography. Like you are, you're seeking this alternate reality in a sense, because you want to pull away from your own reality. Yeah. I'm really glad that you spoke to that. For the sake of time, I just want to, you mentioned fawn response, and that's not as well known. It's not as talked about as much, but it is worth addressing. So this is often caused by trauma. If you had, especially if you had abuse in your childhood, this is sometimes when you can become overly agreeable to appease your abusers. So this is where that survival brain kind of kicks in, and you can have a lot of confusion or guilt. And it's more about helping others, like your abusers, over self-protection, which is different from some of the other ones. And there's an over-dependence on other people's opinions, or there's the lack of boundaries. This is where you can really be manipulated. And there's a lot of codependency here. So you mentioned, and I'm really glad you spoke to this, like these things help us. The whole reason we're speaking about this today is because if we can become aware, like I notice I'm disengaging, I notice I'm viewing pornography, or I'm overeating, or I'm just obsessed with my phone today. Like these are all signs that something is amiss, and they can be clues for us. And I like to tell my clients, like, just be curious. This is not a shame thing. If we can be curious and understand this, we can understand where we are on that rung, that ladder. Mm-hmm. And then, like Yed had even mentioned, we can be kind and gentle to ourselves. We can validate our experience, and then we can make repair, which is also very much tied to another theory called acceptance and commitment therapy. So ACT. And I love that one, because no change occurs until you can validate your experience, until you can offer yourself some self-compassion. And that ties into this last little part that I wanted to talk about that you mentioned when we were talking about what we wanted to speak to today. And that's the underlying needs that we have, and then meeting those needs. Again, that ties into fulfillment therapy and Maslow's hierarchy. Unmet needs keep us from that higher living. They keep us from engagement, from connection, from fulfillment, from joy. For example, fight or flight, if we're experiencing those, if we're like that rapid heart rate, that desire to run, that desire to fight, that might show us that we have this need for safety and control. And what is it that we can do about that? Explore that. Maybe not in that moment when your animal brain is kicking in, but after the fact, or even just shortly down the road from that, or freeze. Your need might be this need for protection because you want to dissociate, or even engagement in some level. Ultimately, we all want to reconnect, but maybe not in that moment. And then for fawn, our need might be for approval and acceptance. Like you have to explore it yourself, because it can shift. All of our needs are different. Do you have any thoughts on that before we move on?
Yeah, no, I was going to say initially, it might be that you do this work, you gain the awareness after the fact. Right. Because a lot of times in the moment when you're first doing this, it's too much to expect this of yourself. And so for me, a lot of times it was pondering on conflicts that I had had and what was going on, not in a way of like, again, not to shame myself, but just to gain awareness. What were the body sensations that I was feeling? What were the emotions that I was feeling? And not to take them and be like, oh my gosh, you're right. I can't do this. I can't. It's no, what was going on? I just want to be aware of what happened. Okay. I was thinking this, I was feeling this, and my body was feeling this. Okay. I was going into freeze mode. Right. And why was that happening? And working through it after the fact, like you said, like allowing yourself that space to really work through it when you feel safe, when you feel more regulated, I think will help you to gain the awareness. And the more that you practice that, the more you're creating these new patterns in your mind. You'll be able to start noticing it actually in the moment. And then you'll be able to start practicing in the moment. So that was one thing I wanted to point out, is that don't worry about having to know this information right now in those conflicts, but to practice afterwards. It's just as helpful. It's just as useful doing it after the fact. Also, something that has been helpful for me is recognizing the emotions that go with it and what they're trying to tell you. So in fight mode, a lot of times you feel anger, right? I used to vilify anger so much. It was like, that's unacceptable. It's not okay. Especially like in my religious upbringing, it was anger is evil, right? But I started seeing anger, examples of anger from a protective standpoint. And I was like, wait a minute. No, anger is only bad when we are using it to harm other people. So if you're feeling anger because someone has crossed a boundary, because someone has harmed you, it's not a bad sign. What is it trying to tell you? Ah, it is unacceptable for someone to treat me this way. It is unacceptable for someone to say this to me. It's unacceptable, right? It's teaching you about what is okay and what isn't okay in your life. So using these emotions, using these things to teach you, rather than vilifying that they're showing up.
I love that. Just with anger, I love how you said that. Anger is, it's a teacher and it's also a clue. Like it helps us, again, when we're getting curious and exploring. And same thing, I misunderstood anger forever. And I'm so glad that you spoke to that because it's what's going to help us be more self-aware and teach us what's acceptable and what's not and stand up for ourselves, essentially. So thank you for sharing that. But what were you going to say?
I have a couple books that have really helped me understand this better. So the first one I was going to say, Boundaries by Henry Cloud and another author that I can't remember, but Boundaries by Henry Cloud, I feel like speaks to a lot of this, like understanding your emotions and the appropriateness of setting boundaries. And then understanding the fight, flight, freeze response specifically. Hear me out. This is a parenting book, but I think that it would be helpful to all people. It's called No Drama Discipline.
I just spoke to that. Well, it's not aired yet. And I just, yeah, I talked all about this. So yes, go ahead.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Perfect. So go back to Kendra's other episode if you didn't listen to that one. But I love No Drama Discipline because it goes into this. Mm-hmm. It talks about, it teaches you about this in reference to your children, but it applies to you too. And what I love about it is that it breaks it down so that it's simple enough that you can help teach your children about this. But honestly, before you can teach your children, you need to know it for yourself. And so I loved that book because it helped me to really start implementing this in my own life, even before I started trying to apply it to my children and my parenting practices. Yeah. But it is so helpful. And they share personal stories. They talk about the different responses and why your kids go into that, into those modes. And I think if you read this book with trying to understand, oh, this is why I go into this mode. This is why, and I am not in a conscious, reasonable place when I'm in this. So what do I need to do? What can I offer myself that this book is telling me to offer my children? And maybe we can do that in another episode, Kendra, is how do we then, like, what are the things that we can then do to meet these needs? To when we're in fight mode, what do we need? When we're in flight mode, what do we need? And how can we meet those needs personally?
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that something like we think it's going to be this small topic and we're like, wow, this much time has passed and we barely, barely touched it. But I think that's so a perfect place to stop too, or to wrap it up is when you were speaking, I was actually thinking the same thing, that exact same book, and about how it's very ineffective for us to try to teach our children when they are in that basement brain, that lower level thinking, that reptile brain, that exactly what we're talking about. When they're flooded with stress, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, it is not the time to be lecturing, be teaching, all of these things. And it's the same, like you mentioned, for adults. It's important to regulate. And I feel like all of my episodes recently have been about that too. Like even in marital conflict, like it's not effective to talk, to engage when you are dysregulated, when you are in that reptilian brain, the animal brain.
Right.
So I guess in closing, like that is a big part of it, but also all of these things that we've talked about today, these just help us with self-regulation and emotional resilience. So this helps us gain insight, like by understanding our physiological responses and, or even like you said, our emotions or whatever it is that we can key into first, it can take away that shame and we can recognize that the things that we're learning, these are tools to help us regulate our emotions and improve our overall well-being with practice and patience as we slowly train ourselves. Does that make sense?
Right.
Any last thoughts and that you have?
Yeah, just my, along with that, and to take the steps to protect yourself and others. Because when we're in that reactive space, we often do and say things that we don't actually mean or believe. So when you notice that you're getting flooded, you're going into this place, instead of engaging, being like, you know what, I need to take a step back. Mm-hmm. Not because I want to punish you or anything like that, but because I value you and I value myself. So we're going to separate for a moment until I can get regulated.
Right.
And then come back together when it's more productive, because that's the goal, right? Is we're wanting to treat others in respectful ways. And we're also wanting to be grounded and have the courage to expect that for ourselves and to put the boundaries in place to protect ourselves. So if someone else is not going to treat us when they're respectfully, when they're dysregulated, then we know what we can do to remove ourselves and protect ourselves and do the same for others when we find ourselves in that space, right?
Right.
So it's about coming together relationally and stepping apart when needed.
Right. Absolutely. I really do believe that if listeners can apply this to themselves, especially sometimes with those examples, they really help. I'm like, oh, okay. I've definitely seen this show up in my life. And I think ultimately, at least for me, and it sounds like it was for you, as I recognize these things, it really does keep me from going into that shame space. And instead just really does help me gain that greater awareness so I can move to that second step. So with awareness comes acceptance, and then comes healing and change. So you can't skip those steps if you really want to improve your life. Do you have a final sentence to sum up your thoughts on everything?
As you say stuff, Kendra, this is the problem. As you say things, I'm like, yes. But yeah, the goal is not to get rid of this,
right?
It is an automatic response. It's going to be with you your entire life. That is the point, is to gain awareness so that we show up better the way that we want to. And it just makes me think of the Savior. As I've been doing this work, I feel like he has been my example, because you look at him and he still experienced these things. Like, I go to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And in that space, he is perfect. And he didn't avoid the autonomic nervous system responses.
Right.
He's there and he is praying to his Father and saying, please remove this cup from me.
Right.
He is trying to flee this experience. Please take this from me. His automatic response shows up. But then, because he is perfectly aware, he brings it to consciousness and he says, but not my will, but thine be done. Right? That is the work that we're wanting to do, is not get rid of this, but to gain awareness enough that we can say, okay, I'm aware that this is happening. I can turn to outside sources to help guide me in these moments of flooding and dysregulation. And I just think he is the perfect example of that. And so not trying to get rid of it, but trying to gain awareness of it, like you were saying.
With that, you're absolutely correct. Not so much changing it, but there is that part that you mentioned earlier in the show about once you are able to validate your experience, once you're able to regulate those emotions, then that step of making repair, it is changing and improving and those things, but it's not changing what is inevitable, which are these different stages, right? This is always going to happen to us, and recognizing that's part of the human experience. But what do we do with that information? I love your insight. Yeah. I love the things that you bring. Thank you for coming on the show today. And I just can't wait till the next one. So I don't know what the topic will be, but it's going to be amazing again.
Surprise.
I cannot resist. I wish we just had this little chat feature where people just say, talk on this, talk on this. We probably will in the future, but anyway.
In the future.
Well, thank you, my friend. It was a pleasure, and we will see you back here very soon.
Kendra, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. You're the best.
Hey, Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you, no matter what your house or your hair looks like. I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.